You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Well, that was not anything that was unexpected last night in Milwaukee, and the Bucks have forced a Game 7 with the Nets. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn, along with the Mad Backer himself, Bartholomew Montavious Scott, and last night, I understand that you watch Giannis and you think, wow, this is the player that this guy can truly be. And you watch Chris Middleton, and it all kind of rang hollow for me. I expected them to play exceptionally well at home, especially against a team that James Harden still is not close to 100%. The jump shot is still not there. Bart, I look at that game last night, and I am not stunned in the least. I think the only thing that surprised me is that Steve Nash did not get more rest for Harden and for Durant in a game like that.
And listen, I'm not multitasking. I'm just trying to, you know, order some help for the Brooklyn Nets, for the Philadelphia 76ers, for everybody that's struggling. I'm trying to get some help for
them. What are you trying? Can you get help for a team from DoorDash?
I'm trying to order an easy button.
Oh, okay.
So they ordered the easy button.
From Staples?
Yeah, just order the easy button and they're all good. You know what I mean? But I tell you what, when you look at that game yesterday, I mean, Giannis was who he was supposed to be, right? But I'm still so unimpressed with his game. And like I said before, this is an athlete playing basketball. This isn't a basketball player. That's an athlete. And I feel like it's a difference. And I feel like they need to make this athlete playing basketball become a basketball player. And to do that, you can't allow him to live in the type of space and allow him to be comfortable. Okay, he's not going to take the cheese. He's not taking the cheese, right? So he's not taking the shots. You know, even he pump faked you and threw the shot up and then threw it to Middleton. So, okay, he's not going to do that. So now we're going to close out the space and make him go around you. But to do that, if you're Brooklyn, you have to have a rim protector. That's why I've been beating this table up. We had Perkins on this show almost 2 weeks ago. And he said that, man, this is a game where DeAndre Jordan should play. If anybody should have some pep in their step, if anybody should have some juice, if anybody should be fully gassed up, all gas, no brakes, it should be DeAndre Jordan. He hasn't played much this entire playoffs. So if you put him out there, you should be able to have some rim protection if you're going to close the space on a great athlete. And if he gets by somebody, if they catch, you know, Harden in a pick and roll and get him matched up with Giannis, and he wants to crowd Giannis and use those quick hands like he had against Middleton, and if then he gets around him, now you have a 7-foot rim protector that is proven in his league that can challenge the shot and distort the vision that Giannis has had for these 4-foot little floaters. Of course he can hit 4-foot floaters. Who the hell can't hit a 4-foot floater?
His average shot last night was inside 6 feet.
My point. And then you got Blake Griffin, who's giving him space. And then as he gets closer, he gets space. And you look up like, Blake, you're damn near underneath the basket. Like, you've given up. You can't continue to retreat and give him those shots that close. So I feel like the adjustment has to be DeAndre Jordan. Or if it's not going to be DeAndre Jordan, you have to close the space out, because not only did you allow him to get in the paint and be able to get easy baskets and get confidence, you'll allow the guy to rotate off of Chris Middleton and give him wide open 3-point shots, which you can't do. I think late in the game, we were able to watch with Joe Harris get a little bit of confidence, finally seeing the ball go through the hole. The problem was Jeff Green wasn't able to be Jeff Green. You didn't expect Jeff Green to be Jeff Green.
No.
He's not the Jeff Green of the Oklahoma days. He's not the one that, you know, that came over from the Seattle Supersonics.
And I don't expect those guys to do it on the road.
Right. Well, you never know.
It would be nice if Joe Harris got on the plane to Milwaukee. That would be a nice little change of pace.
Exactly. So I think the adjustment's going to have to be maybe go DeAndre Jordan, and they won't be prepared for that. So now you have a rim protector, so they can play that little matchup zone. Now you got a real 7-footer that when Giannis comes in and he comes in for a 7-footer, now he has to shoot over a 7-footer, not James Harden or Blake Griffin.
Hey, as you probably figured out by now, this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk.
If they don't know about now, then they ain't been listening to our damn show. And if they ain't been listening to our damn show, welcome. See, you thought I was about to go. No, I'm not going. I'm not alienating anybody. Please, everybody, come one, come all.
I don't think you alienate anybody unless they're on the football field.
No, that's true.
Yeah, I think you're pretty good like that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All about Game 6 last night and the Nets not getting it done on the road. And now, who's got the advantage in Game 7? We'll get to that in a second. Here's KD last night on exactly what was going on the floor.
We were down four a couple times, and they pushed it up. I mean, they responded after every run we made. We got to give them credit for that. But I think we were down early. We got ourselves back into the game. We were down like 12-15, and then we got back, cut it. It was 82-77, then we fouled a three-point shooter, and that's when they kind of took control. So I felt like we were right there. We just couldn't get over the hump.
Well, give the Bucks credit, because at the end of the first half, and I'd say about early to midway through the fourth quarter, they had the two runs that really showed they had complete control of the game, even though the Nets were able to come back in some spots throughout. But I never for a moment thought that the Nets were going to win this game. Really, and even when you see what happens early, you're not thinking it's over because of what's happened the last couple of games with the Bucks, especially their last time out. But I honestly look at a guy in this series like Giannis, and here's a young superstar in the league that, Bart, to me, this is not a legacy situation here moving forward. This is a guy that wants to be one of the all-time great players, but has major deficiencies right now. This is a game tomorrow where you try to find out if Giannis does truly belong on that level. And frankly, if I'm in Milwaukee and he doesn't play great tomorrow, he plays like he did in game five, even if he has 30, but if he's backing off of James Harden when he wants to defend him, if he is not willing to go after Kevin Durant in some spots and defend Durant, to me, all it does is say, all it really does is make me think twice about him being a centerpiece championship player. I'm not saying he's not, but it makes me start to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, you know, and really you have to understand the psyche of who he is. You got to get to him early. You can't allow him to get easy shots early and get confidence. You have to get to him early to make him struggle, and then he becomes hesitant. And all those, like, I would have loved to see, all those little baskets where he's going to bask with Blake. Blake, you got five fouls, bro. Use them.
Yep.
And if we got to put, the young kid in, Claxton, use him.
Yep.
Because what he doesn't want to do is have to take 20. He would be taking 25 shots a game.
Yep.
Knowing that if he takes 20, he's
going to miss 10.
He's going to miss 4. He's going to miss 14.
I don't know about that.
What I'm saying is he's shooting 30%.
And it's in his head during the postseason.
My point.
There's no doubt.
So I'm doing that. Like, it's no way he gets any shots that close. I'm fouling him.
All he talks about is wanting to be more aggressive, which is, as we hear from him now about last night, that's his most important mindset.
I was just like, be aggressive, get downhill, make the right play. I think there was maybe one or two plays that I was open in the three-point line that I could shoot it, but still, I feel like I could go downhill. But, this game I didn't shoot any three. Maybe next game I shoot a couple. I don't know how it's going to go. You know, I can't predict the future. But what I know is that, I enjoy the game when I'm aggressive, when I can get downhill, when I can get my teammates involved. And when I play to my strength, that's when I enjoy the game the most.
Let me throw a number at you.
Mm-hmm.
In the 76 game sevens, there have been 74 times where the home team is favored. Okay? The Nets have a less than 100% James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
They have Kevin Durant.
Yep.
And who knows what else is going to show up as far as the role players. We don't think they're going to have Kyrie Irving in Game 7 because there's been no indication that he's going to be healthy enough. That game right now is a pick'em.
Yeah.
Is a pick'em. To me, that screams ultimate yet justified disrespect toward the Milwaukee Bucks, because you have the superior talent mm-hmm. on the floor. And it's, you can't ever say that against the Nets. You have the superior talent mm-hmm. on the floor, and you're not favored in this game seven when the Nets are not whole?
You have the superior talent, but you don't have the superior player. The most superior you have player.
The greatest player on the floor is on the other side.
Right.
But so you have a guy that's supposed to be not that far off from.
Yeah, but they're giving you the LeBron James treatment. They're giving Kevin Durant the LeBron James treatment. How many of those Cleveland games, when you went back to Cleveland, they thought that LeBron would figure out a way when he had Dellavedova, Richard Jefferson, J.R. Smith. See, I remember his name today. J.R. Smith, you had all those players. So I think they're giving Kevin Durant the benefit of the doubt and saying, hey, listen, the home team has won in every game this series, and Kevin Durant is capable, because he showed us, of being able to put up, you know, monster numbers. And James Harden put up 16, and he looked like at least his shot. He found the range without having to lift, how to use more of his upper body in his shot to be able to, you know, bridge the gap between the 1 or 2 inches that he was coming up short on his shot.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is Game 7 pretty much a statement on who Giannis is as a player? And can Kevin Durant carry the Nets to a win in Game 7? 888-SAY-ESPN. Bart, that's where I'm really conflicted. At home, when we saw Jeff Green have the kind of game that he did the other day, do I need to count on Durant to do this again? To throw up 50 and you know, 17 in this game for the Nets to win? Because look, truth be told, as much as I'm getting on the Milwaukee Bucks, you could argue that over the last four games, they've been the superior team. And that this series should be over already if they had gotten the job done. Because they have limited the Nets in three of those four games to under 100 points.
True, but but also the Nets, even before Kyrie got hurt, was holding holding the Bucks to 87, you know, in their 80s. So holding them underneath too. So listen, Drew Holiday hasn't really showed up. So that's why I'm saying, if I am Brooklyn, I'm making sure that James Harden is on Holiday. I'm not putting him on Middleton, because Middleton has the basketball acumen and skills to go around James, but also to be able to shoot the ball and force James to not be able to slough off, because now he has range. So I'm making sure that I make that adjustment too. So, I mean, I think this game is going to be about adjustments, and I think it's been about adjustments, and the adjustment from losing to KD in his great historical night was Giannis go downhill and don't settle. Right. So now that you know that he's not going to settle, because he's going to try and do what was successful for him. I think it was a lot of kind of 50-50 calls where Jeff Green was trying to slide. Blake Griffin was trying to take the charge. But Giannis was so far under the rim. Giannis was able to sidestep with the Euro step and get the shot up. That's why I think you close the space out and be able to get him coming to the basket, and you can dictate which way he's going. You can make him go left, and then you can have the help come and try and step in front that way from the other side. Opposed to being able to have him off and he's able to go downhill and have a two-way go. You know, when we talk about blitz pickup in football, and you have that basically that running back in the backfield, you have that blitzing linebacker, that blitzing safety, you never allow him to square you up and get down the middle, because now he can go left or right or stop and pull up. You know Giannis isn't going to stop and pull up because he doesn't have that in his game. But if you continue to back up, you're allowing him to get in his comfort zone, you make him go to one side and you force him to finish with his left. And that's what you do. Or you had to help slide over, but you can't come off and help off Middleton, because that's their adjustment. So once they watch the film, I know if I can see this as a average, you know, high school basketball player, you know, we were a good team, though. But you know what I'm saying? I would have started for a lot of other teams. You know what I mean? You know, you if I can see those adjustments, then they should be able to see those adjustments as well.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Taking your calls on this particular issue of Giannis, of the Bucks, and of the Nets in this situation, and if in fact KD has to have that kind of a game. But I honestly can't believe for myself how much I really have so little faith in the Bucks. I really have so little faith in the Milwaukee Bucks.
You're not letting it ride? You're not letting it ride?
No, I'm not. I wouldn't be. And I knew they were going to win last night. But they just feel like a remarkably front-running team in so many ways. A team that can win at home. A team that, when things are going great, they're fantastic. But when they need to buckle down and get it done, I don't have the faith that they can right now. Maybe that's unfair, but it's what I see. And it's led by Giannis. When Chris Middleton is a star player and has that kind of game last night, all I can think about is, why can't you do that on the road? Why can't you go get 38 on the road? And it's not even 38. You're not a role player. You're just give me what you're supposed to give me on the road.
Give you what we paid for, right? Because they pay him. He's an all-star. He's one of their big three, right? Holiday, him, Giannis.
888-SAY-ESPN. Scott's in Baltimore. He's up first on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
Can I pronounce it the right way? How you guys said it's Baltimore.
You got it.
Is that a D?
So, as I appreciate all your opinions and everything, and please don't take this disparagingly, but
I never did.
You know, come on, we got to stop trying to invoke controversy where there is no controversy. I mean, Game 7, however he plays, that's going to be the defining moment of a two-time defending MVP.
Yeah, yes, he's fallen short. Right? Like, he's a guy that's not even got to the Eastern Conference Finals as a team that has been the favorite. He has gotten knocked off by Kawhi when Toronto was not expected to be, you know, the favorite. You know, they barely got past Philly, took a great shot from Kawhi Leonard, right? So, yes, two-time MVP that has never been to the Eastern Conference Finals. When have we ever said that? We ain't talking about losing in the finals. Yes, he has come up short because he is a flawed superstar. He's not Dame Lillard. He's not Kyrie. He's not KD. Yes, he's a flawed guy.
This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Mo in Brooklyn next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. Mo, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
I want to barge in on Game 7 with Kevin Durant.
Yep.
I feel like he really needs someone to come up big to score at least 20 points out of the role players. Most likely someone like Joe Harris.
Joe Harris, listen, who's been more disappointing to you?
Nobody.
Joe Harris or Drew Holiday?
No, Joe Harris.
Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday has not been good. Joe Harris has been awful.
Yeah.
He has been terrible. This is the guy that led the league in three-point shooting this year. He hit 48%.
See, but this is the problem. How many of those three-pointers were set up because Kyrie got in the paint and kicked to him? How many of those were set up because James Harden was explosive and he was drawing two coming off and kicked to him? KD isn't really like that. He's not a guy, when he gets to 18 feet, he's either landing up or shooting an 18-footer, where Kyrie or James is getting to the basket and dishing the ball out to wide-open shots. See, Joe Harris isn't a guy that can create off his own. That's what makes Steph Curry so great. He's a guy that can get his own shot by creating space. That's what makes Trae Young great. He can create his own space. Joe Harris has to be facilitated to.
Do me a favor. Joe, just show up at the arena. That'd be nice. Because I haven't found you the last couple of games.
Who's Joe?
Haven't even seen him. Up next, Mark in Miami on Bart and Hahn. Mark, it's Chris and Bart. What's up, dude? How are you?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Giannis KD matchup, and it's been really frustrating that it seems Budenholzer refuses to put Giannis on him, even though KD has the lowest field goal percentage on Giannis in his entire career. But if you're the Bucks and you can put Giannis on KD and it diminishes Giannis on the offensive end, what do you take from that matchup? What's your best case scenario? Is it evening out KD? Because I feel like the Bucks have the better surrounding team when Harden's injured and Kyrie's injured. Would you take that if you're the Bucks? Would you take Giannis canceling out KD and move forward?
We had PJ Carlisimo on, and he said that they don't want that. He's not the best defender on them because he can't handle the lateral movement. He's not used to dealing with a guard. KD is basically a point guard in a 7-foot body. Like, he would get Giannis in foul trouble so fast. You know, he can go by him. He can shoot over Giannis because he's taller with a longer wingspan, and he's a guy that elevates greatly on his jump shot. But he's also crafty enough to get to the basket and draw some fouls. And do you want Giannis in foul trouble, knowing that he's good for at least one offensive foul a game? You get him in foul trouble, now you're compromised. Your best guy is Tucker, who's not looking to score, who's dedicating all his energy to make sure that he stops Kevin Durant.
A major star in the NBA already on the move, and we haven't even hit the draft lottery. Plus, someone's future is very much on the line in Game 7 tomorrow between the Bucks and the Nets. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. That's next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Two massive game sixes tonight. I already hate myself for my picks. Ugh. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Allen, along with Bartholomew Alexander Scott. So, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. You could say big when you bundle your auto, home, and motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. What actually is your middle name? Since I keep just making it up.
Edward.
Edward.
Yeah, I'm the man with three first names.
Call you Eddie? Ed? Ted? What do we call you? Bart. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Ed Reed used to call me Mule.
Why Mule?
I don't know, because Thylam Mule.
Oh, okay.
Mule. Somebody used to call me Thilo. And all my friends that I used to bully call me Michi.
Michi?
Yeah, because like every hood, for people that's not, you know, familiar with ghetto language or ghetto bullies, like usually the bullies in the hood is either like Butch, mm-hmm. Michi, or like some name like that that just terrorizes the neighborhood. You know, well, some people that's familiar with The Wire, Omar.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
So you're the bully and I'm the guy running from you. But basically, and because I was the guy running from everybody.
Rich dude, Chris.
Hey.
I want an extra meatloaf. I want an extra meatloaf today.
In that situation, I was a lot faster than you would think. It is Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And there is news this morning, and it's happened before even the draft lottery has come to, is a Kemba Walker, who everybody kind of anticipated would get moved, did get moved this morning. Woj broke the story. Woj is going to join us at the top of next hour. Ah. And the story is this. He ends up going to Oklahoma City with a first-round pick. Kemba's got $73 million left on his contract. Al Horford goes back along with Moses Brown to the Celtics in a second
round pick. Hold on. They got Al Horford back?
They did get Al Horford back.
Wow.
I think in every other trade they make, they have to get Al Horford back.
Right. So that's the money. That's how they balance the money.
Yes.
Al Horford would be – that's why it's interesting.
The money on Kemba, though, is a lot more than Al Horford at this point. And once again, Sam Presti in Oklahoma City ends up getting another first-round pick. And according to Tim Bontemps, as we just heard from Christine, Kemba Walker is likely going to be on the move again. They're working with him to try to trade him again.
This is interesting, right? Because Al Horford comes back. And I'm wondering, because he's one of these new stretch fives, right? So they basically, you know, got rid of him for a year, get him back. And I wonder, how does Al Horford play as far? Because I would get rid of Tristan Thompson. Because if Al Horford's back, I don't need Tristan Thompson. Al Horford's a better version of Tristan Thompson. He's an offensive version of Tristan Thompson. He can play great defense. He can play great pick and roll defense. And he's a guy that can shoot and can stretch and shoot the three-pointer. And he's a leader. So I'll be looking to move Tristan Thompson. So it's going to be interesting to me. And the most important hire in Boston is the head coach. Because now you have to understand, how can you make something out of these pieces? And then they have to go big game hunting again. So you talk about a team like Boston that has a lot of picks too, right? Danny Ainge mm-hmm. acquired a lot of picks.
And Brad Stevens is running it now too.
Right. So I wonder, you know, before you had Kyrie, great little man. Then you had Kim, a great little man. Well, we know it's going to be a great little man out there. You know, potentially, how much would they give up for a guy like Dame Dollar? How much would they give up?
It's one of the places it's been mentioned.
Or Kyle Lowry.
Can you imagine? And I would think, I don't know how you could get away with getting Dame Lillard without giving up Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
That would You know, right, because, but Jaylen Brown going back to Portland is more palatable for the Blazers to deal with. And when you've got Jason Tatum and Dame Lillard together, that'd be pretty awesome.
Exactly. So, I mean, write that down, mm-hmm. circle it, underline it, and we're going to save that for Woj.
So I don't forget.
Yeah, we're going to save that for Woj because right. that there, you know what I'm saying, I cooked up some good stuff because we talked about we're going to get to Philly in a little bit. So, man, I'm playing GM, man. Who needs Elton Brand, man? Listen, if you want a black GM NBA, come holler at your boy.
All I can tell you is that Bart has been on a lot of this different stuff. But what I am curious about is what happens with the Bucks tomorrow. Budenholzer's, in my estimation,
coach's first job.
He's going to be gone if they lose this game. And it's unfortunate, but at the same time, his coaching this series, I mean, that's part of what has left me feeling somewhat empty about the Bucks as it has. Is he has really been uninspiring in the way he's handled himself coaching this series.
No, absolutely. He had some regrettable moments, like allowing yourself to lose that first game where KD went goes off, like letting his team settle, getting them in bad sets, you know, his rotations, his lineups. You know, it's all been questionable. You know what I mean? Why wouldn't he demand that Brook Lopez goes down low? That's the easiest way to get easy buckets.
Yep.
And we're not talking about a team in Brooklyn that's hitting a lot of threes. So don't talk about, you don't exchange twos for threes. Twos work just fine. Just ask Giannis. He gave you about 38 of them yesterday.
I look at Budenholzer, and losing this series to me is inexcusable when you've had the injuries on the other side that you've had.
And you really
should feel like this series should be over already.
Right. And you're supposed to be the equal team. Talent. It was a pick 'em, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody was playing better than the Bucks. By the end of the season, considering that the big three had just kind of got back together and they really were trying to get chemistry and looked like they were trying to figure out their role. And then now they're down two superstars or one and a half.
888-SAY-ESPN. Lionel in Durham, North Carolina is up next. Lionel, what's up?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Happy Father's Day. Love the show. I believe that KD needs to drag this team kicking and screaming into the finals.
He's done
the
that.
The same way that LeBron did when, you know, Kyrie went out, Kevin Love went out, because they're going to compare KD to LeBron forever. Yeah,
but ask yourself, because I don't remember.
KD's
so you
not LeBron.
So maybe you can know before you take him out. Maybe he can inform me because I don't realize who did they beat to get to the finals, right? Because I would argue that KD is carrying this team across the line with a harder challenge, right? Because you're talking about the two-time MVP, a team with their own big three. Remember, they went out and got Holiday. That made their big three.
Yeah, but if you get past this?
No. But what I'm saying is LeBron carried a similar team once you lose Kevin Love and Kyrie across the finish line to the finals against a lesser Eastern Conference when you consider the fact that he's going against the reigning MVP, that he's going against an all-star in Chris Middleton, and he's also going against an all-star in Giannis. I mean, not in Giannis. And Drew Holiday as well, and two guys that made the all-defensive team.
Look, I get it. I don't think you ever put Kevin Durant in the same discussion as LeBron.
I do. Let him win two more titles.
I don't. As far as everything that he has done throughout his career, KD is not in that same discussion with me. And he's a great, great, great player.
If KD would have stayed with Golden State, he would have three.
But you know,
like, and people think that, you know, KD can't play defense or they don't give him the same, you know, defensive acumen as LeBron, and that's cool because LeBron can check, you know, positions like 1 through 5, right? But what he's showing how the grit that he has, his ability to rebound when he has to, his ability to play great defense, like, and I think he first started showing that when they realized that he didn't have to do all the scoring when he went to Golden State. He became a great help defender. So I think if he continues to play, right, because I think he's going to play just as long, if not longer, than LeBron, because his game is going to age a lot better than LeBron.
His game will absolutely age better than LeBron's. But here's the other thing. Tonight, you know how frustrated I am with Ben Simmons. And to me, he has lost his spot in Philadelphia if they lose this series, especially if the Sixers lose tonight. Bart, I'm picking the Sixers to win tonight, but I don't know how I am, and I feel sick to my stomach that I'm doing it after they have blown these two games as they have. And I put so much of it on Ben Simmons. When you're a superstar player and you will not attack weaknesses, and it's so evident in the biggest of situations, that just speaks to me that you're not a superstar player.
Do you want to also make this a mission? Nate McMillan is a better coach than Doc Rivers.
I think Doc gets a lot of the benefit of the doubt and has for a long time because everybody likes Doc.
Yeah.
He's hard not to like, and he's excellent with the media. He obviously has been on this side of it. I do think that Nate McMillan in the first series outcoached Tom Thibodeau and has outcoached Doc in this series. It's not even close.
And then you look at last year. He was outcoached from the coach from Denver. Outcoached.
Yeah.
And so much so that his players lost faith in him that he decided to step down.
The last one about Utah tonight, too, in the other game six, is it's going to be incredibly disappointing if Utah, still down 3-2 in this series, does not win this series. If they get to a game seven, I'll be stunned if they lose. But, Bart, yeah, find a way to win tonight. Even if you don't have Mike Conley, this is a game you have to win when there's no Kawhi Leonard on the other side.
Yeah, this is the game, right? Like, because if you're the Clippers, this is a game that you have to win because you know the odds of you winning a game seven in Utah is not going to be high.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is Bart and Hahn coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. I'm Chris Carlin. He's Bart Scott. Up next, the Mets got some good news regarding Jacob DeGrom yesterday, but that does not change how they should handle him moving forward. We discuss in moments right after Bart tells you about our friends from the Home Depot.
The countdown is almost here. It's almost Father's Day, and I hope you don't get socks. DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools. But at the Home Depot, right tools means more than hammers and saws. It means a mobile app with the built-in image search. Yes, that's a tool. Access an entire rental department with a swipe. That's another tool. For any project, start to finish, this isn't just DIY. This is how doers get more done. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Download your mobile app to get started. Your calls after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
Severe for Jacob DeGrom, so that's the good news, but it's the third different minor injury this season. So is that speaking to more? It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn, along with Bart Scott. It is time for your MLB weekend preview brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money, progress starts here. So Jacob DeGrom, after leaving his start on Wednesday after three perfect innings with shoulder soreness, had everything check out okay. And this was Luis Rojas yesterday on what the prognosis is at the moment with DeGrom.
He is going to do his in-between start routine, you know, which is the playing catch after he throws like he did today. But we still day by day. I mean, we want to make sure that everything's fine. I mean, we've already gone through different things because this is not the same thing. It's been three different things. So we want to pay attention to this thing now and on a day-by-day approach. So, you know, that's what we're going to do. Our medical staff here, our trainers, they're all over it. Jake as well, you know, he's in it. So we trust everyone, including Jake, you know, on how he feels and also, you know, the results and the prognosis that we had from both doctors earlier today.
The doctor is in here. Dr. Scott, in fact, is in here. So he's had a problem with his side. He's had a problem with his flexor. He's had a problem with his shoulder. They're all minor. I'm going to throw a statistic at you and tell me if it blows his minds.
Mm-hmm.
He, this season, has thrown 139 pitches of 100 miles per hour or more.
Yep.
The next highest in all of Major League Baseball is 11. And there have only been 191 thrown all year. So he's thrown 139 of 191 in baseball.
Yeah.
Bart, when you have 2 and 3 injuries all gather up, can that be a sign of something larger that your body's trying to tell you something isn't right?
Yeah, this is too damn hard. I mean, when you listen, we all got cars and we all drive fast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you live life in that 8 to 9 RPM where they got the little red thing, you're going to blow your engine. And I think that, you know, he has to maybe try and come back a little bit, conserve some, like not be able to like, I won't say pitch with his ego, because we've never seen him throw the ball this hard. And now with the whole, and you can say whatever you want, anybody can say whatever they want. The fact now that they're going to be cracking down on sticky stuff or mm-hmm. anything, you know, that concerns me too, because his body's sending him a signal. Like, who knows if he gets a dead arm? Like, now it's up in the shoulder. There's a lot of stuff in the shoulder that can go wrong. You got the labrum, you got the rotator cuff, and also you have that nerve. You have a sciatic nerve. Well, sciatic nerve is in the bottom low back. But you have a nerve that runs there, and you hear guys like Chris Paul talk about they have a stinger. It's called stingers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you get that inflammation in that shoulder, and it starts sitting on that nerve, and he'll maybe start not feeling the ball as well, and you start getting cold hands where you feel like you're not getting circulation. So I think they have to find the root of it, and if the root is he's throwing too hard too often, then he's going to have to try and control himself and figure out how to get to the postseason healthy.
But what I really don't like here is they're calling it day-to-day.
Yep.
You talked about this yesterday, the idea of the dye in the MRI really yeah. showing everything. Luis Rojas yesterday said, well, he doesn't have anything that a pitcher wouldn't have. And he kept saying that 2 or 3 yeah. times. So in other words, there's something going on, but it's any pitcher would be dealing with this. Just to put it bluntly, how much do they want to find it?
That's what I'm saying, right? And if you don't do that, if you keep ignoring things, eventually it's going to get your attention. And you don't want it to get your attention at the wrong time.
He's having the kind of season right now where it's clear he's going for the MVP as well as going for the Cy Young. He's won the Cy Young in back-to-back years. We know how good he's been like that. It's not even protecting him from himself, but this seems so easy to me. Dial it back, lay him out on a start, and then when you get around the All-Star break, you can start him, let's say, the Friday before the break, and he gets the entire break, and then after the All-Star game, don't start him until the Tuesday after. This is not that hard to yep. figure out.
You're 10 games up.
Give it a chance. Give him a chance for a special, special season to continue. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Woj next.